Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. Genesis 3, verse 9. Listen carefully to God's word. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever." Amen. Genesis 3:17 says, "Cursed is the ground for your sake." For your sake. We're living at a time when everyone wants to know that everything is going to be okay, that life is going to work out well for us, and even if possible, we could know the future and know that life was going to be good. So much so that I read recently about a woman who paid money in order to visit a palm reader to find out her future. Nor is that all. Many people pay mega bucks to find out what the future will hold and how closely do Americans today follow what is printed in just about every newspaper in this country, their horoscope. Astrology, palm reading, horoscopes. We want to know that everything will be okay, that everything in the universe, the stars are going to tell us, or someone tell us, that everything in my life is going to work out for my sake, and that it will turn out all right. for me. Well, it is a curious statement. In Genesis 3:17, the context is right after the fall. Adam had eaten the fruit, Eve had eaten the fruit, and God came to Adam and Eve and the serpent, that is Satan, and he judged them. It is interesting to note that God cursed the ground and he cursed Satan, but he did not curse man. He judged man, but he did not curse man. But then this verse occurs in Genesis 3:17. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Now, what in the world could that possibly mean? Cursed is the ground for your sake? Well, we're going to see later what that means, but right now I want to suggest a general principle that we draw from this scripture text, and it is this. God directs everything in your life for your sake. Think about it. All of your adversities, all of your problems, all of your troubles, your prosperity, the scores that you make on a test, your marriage, your job, your success or failure, everything is for your sake. That's what the Bible teaches. In fact, firstly, God directs all the events in the Bible for your sake. Here we're looking at this phrase, God says, cursed is the ground for your sake. Why did God curse the ground? The ground didn't do anything. Why did he curse it? In spite of the fact that we have what we call Earth Day, which is more of a cultic or occultic practice, we supposedly come up with ways in which we're going to protect the earth. In spite of the fact that we have what is called Earth Day, the earth is your adversary. The ground, this planet, is the adversary of mankind. We do not use in a user, we do not live in a user-friendly world. It is your enemy. The ground is your enemy. You're going to make your living by the sweat of your brow. It is going to be difficult to make life work as long as you live on this planet. We may try to ease the pain and we may try to comfort ourselves with our possessions, but the earth is your adversary no matter how you cut it. And one day, Genesis 3:17, 18, 19 says, one day the earth is going to win because you're going to end up as a piece of it. Several years ago, I read an article on the body, and it said that the body was worth something like $26. I suppose because of inflation that our physical, bodily, biological worth has increased somewhat. About $26 worth of dust, 75% water, and a few chemicals thrown in. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The earth will one day win because the earth is the adversary of mankind. It is your adversary. It is not your friend. But why? Why did God curse the earth? I believe it is because of this very reason. So that as we go through life and we try to make our living, that we begin to realize that this earth, that this life is not all there is, so that I do not fix my hope and my goal and my confidence upon this planet. But because what I attempt to do will not always be successful, and it will be hard, and I will come to the end of my life at some point where I finally realize the futility of all of this life, that it is futile without God, because finally there will be nothing left to me except my spirit as I stand before the living God. And there will be nothing left in this life that I can take with me. It is all futility without God. And God cursed the ground so that we could begin to realize the futility of this life. So that I can begin now to look up and to realize that heaven is my goal. That this earth is not all there is, that getting and spending is not the sum total of my way of life, that my purpose in life is to one day get to heaven. Now you see, God cursed the earth. That was a severe mercy. God cursed the earth so that it would be hard for you and me to make life work while we're on this planet. Do you see that God was being merciful? Suppose God had not cursed the ground. There is Adam in his fallen estate. You and I would be born into the earth, born into this life. Suppose God had not cursed the earth and everything we touched turned to just gold. Everything we attempted to do was successful. What would you conclude? Why, you would say, wow, this is great. Life is great. This earth, this is all I need. Everything I attempt to do is successful. Why do I need heaven? And there we would be, thinking that all that it is, and then one day we would die and poof, that would be it. But on the other hand, God cursed the ground and He helps us realize that earth is not all there is. What I am saying is that God directs everything for your sake. Everything that happens in your life, listen to me, put everything that you can think of into this bag this morning. You'll have to do it by faith because it's not natural to think this way. Everything that happens in your life is for your sake. Do you believe that? Well, the phrase or the idea, for your sake, everything that happens, occurs elsewhere throughout Scripture. For example, in Psalm 119, verses 67 and 71, we read this. The psalmist said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." And then in verse 71, he says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Do you know about Manasseh, who was a king in Judah? He became king when he was 12 years old. Do you know what he did? When he was 12 years old, if we don't think 12-year-olds are morally responsible, that's a good indication of the age of accountability. This king, when he was 12 years old, began to worship the idols. He set up the Baal and the fertility cults in Israel, and he turned his back on God. But then God brought into Manasseh's life several years later, king after ruler after empire, to defeat Manasseh. And then notice what it says in 2 Chronicles 33:12. It says, now when he, that is when Manasseh, was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled him, humbled himself before him and prayed to him. And then it says, then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. When God afflicts, when God sticks in the knife, as Charles Spurgeon said, and he twists it sometimes, we begin to realize that everything he does is really for your sake, for my sake. I said God directs all the events in the Bible for your sake. But in order to believe that, we also need to believe certain things about God. And there are three things that you and I must believe about God in order to believe that everything that happens is for my sake. Everything. And the first thing we must believe about God is that God is just. That is an attribute of God. Another way of saying that is that God is fair. We are very self-conscious about what is fair and what is not fair in our lives, children especially. I wish that I had a nickel every time I've heard my children say, but that's not fair. But God is fair. And in order to believe that everything's going to work out for your sake, you must believe this, that God is absolutely just and fair, and you are going to get what you deserve. Is that what you want? Do you want fairness? Well, God is fair. And there are so many things that happen in life that seem to us very unfair. He got the promotion and you didn't. She is more attractive than you are. He passed the test and you didn't. Or she scored higher. Or she has accomplished this and you didn't. So many things seem to us to be unfair in life. And yet God is always just and fair. Now listen, if things do not work out fairly for you right now, sooner or later they will. God has never promised that everything is going to be okay and work out just right in this life. And it could be that things may appear to you very, very unfair in this life, and it'll never work out in this life. That could happen. Okay? But I want to tell you, God is doing everything for your sake. And we trust Him who is just and fair. And one day when we stand before Him and the books are open, we'll see clearly that every single event was fair. And God will work it out just right. I said there are three things that we must believe in order to believe that everything that happens is for our sake. The first one is that God is just. The second thing that we must believe about God in order to believe that everything is for my sake is this: God is in complete control of everything. That is what we call the providence of God. We believe that God is sovereign in His providence and that He is in complete control of everything that takes place. He lifts up one and He puts down another. Yes, we go through the process of voting, and we build empires, and we build military, but our success and our victory depends only upon one thing. It does not depend upon the arm of the flesh. It depends upon Him who is a sovereign God and who is a God of providence, overlooking everything that takes place. Now, if you do not believe that, then you're going to have a hard time believing that everything that happens is for your sake. If God is not in control, if you're in control, if Moscow is in control, if Washington is in control, if City Hall is in control, it's going to be hard to believe that everything is for your sake. But God is just, and He is in complete control, and everything in your life is for your sake. God is working it out just that way. And then there's a third lesson or attribute of God that we must believe, and it is this, that God is essentially good and gracious. God is good, but He goes beyond goodness and gracious. If I did not believe in the essential goodness and the graciousness of God, then I could not believe that everything that happens is for my sake. God is good, and God is gracious. Is there any doubt about it? Do you need proof? You may be sick. You may be dealing with depression and hardship and domestic and family problems. You may be down, discouraged. Your family may be falling apart, and you wonder, is God good? Well, friends, let me direct your attention to Calvary. When we look upon the cross of Jesus Christ, is there any doubt that God is good and that God loves you and that God's intentions toward you are always good and not evil? Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose." All things work together for good. God is in control, and He is working everything out just right for your sake. What I am saying is this: God directs everything for your sake. That's easy to say for the good things. Hey, you get a check in the mail that you weren't expecting. That's great. What a great God we have. It's easy to look at this and to say, oh, the blessing of God, He's really good. But what about when you're the one who's sick? What about when your loved one's life is hanging in the balance? What about when your paycheck stops and your job changes? Do you believe then that everything is for your sake? Well, that's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm saying to you. And that is the conclusion I draw from that phrase that we read in Genesis chapter 3:17. God cursed the ground for your sake. Everything for your sake. There is a catechism. We're familiar with the shorter catechism and the larger catechism. There is one that the Germans wrote. It's called the Heidelberg. And the Heidelberg catechism starts out with this question: "What is thy only comfort in life and death?" And the answer is this: my only comfort in life and death is that I, with body and soul, am not my own, but belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, He so preserves me that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my heavenly Father. Not one hair. Not one hair can fall without the will of your heavenly Father. Do you doubt? Do you doubt that everything that has happened is for your sake? There is a condition to finding out that everything is for your sake, and the condition is this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? You can search the astrologer's charts. You can go to the palm readers, read Gene Dixon, read books by Edgar Cayce. You can get involved in the New Age and find some channeler supposedly from 4,000 years ago out of Egypt or India. To know that everything is going to work out well in your life. But there's only one person who knows. And there's only one source that you can find out. And that is the Bible, and that person is Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior? And secondly, are you living by faith and walking in obedience to Him? Cursed is the ground for your sake. For your sake, everything that happens is for your sake. Do you know Christ? God gave His Son for your sake. And it is only through knowing Him that you can finally discover that everything that has taken place, every hurt, every pain, was actually for you all along. You'll never find it if you don't come to Christ and trust in Him and walk by faith in Him. Will you come this morning? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for cursing the ground for our sake. And we thank You for all the other adversities and hardships and struggles that we face in life. For we do believe and we do trust that everything that happens in our lives is for our sake. And we thank You and we acknowledge that often those seemingly bad things are severe mercies, difficult to receive, and yet mercy just the same, to redirect our attention from this earth back to You. And Father, there are some people here this morning who need to be redirected, who need to experience once again the severe mercy of God. Help them to see that and help them to turn to You with full faith and trust and obedience. And there are others here, Father, who want to know that life is going to work out well for them. Enable them right now to turn to Jesus Christ and to trust in Him as their Savior, to ask Him to forgive them of their sin and to receive Him into their hearts. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 198, the first and last verses, "Just As I Am." Shall we stand?